just show up and object to every single book under the sun, that is not an appropriate situation here.
For organizations like ours that provide services to people with epilepsy, it means that we can now budget in a much more thoughtful way.
The distance enumerated in this bill, because I think sometimes it's not enough. It might be 25 feet. It might be 250 feet.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among tonight's Capitol action, Florida lawmakers are making good on their promise to ease regulations on the state's public schools while curbing school book challenges. Lynn Hatter reports a series of bills doing just that and more are heading to Governor Ron DeSantis for consideration.
The measures cut many of the reporting requirements on public schools, giving them greater control over their budgets and making changes to the way students are promoted. It took the Senate less than 3 minutes to clear the regulatory plans.
And the House Amendment 471783 aimed to streamline educational processes. CS for SB 7004 focuses on repealing obsolete reporting, requiring the Department of Education to publish instructional material lists, and allowing community schools to be used as a turnaround option.
The bills stopped short of eliminating some standardized testing, as bill proponents initially wanted. Also going to DeSantis is a plan to curb school book challenges. Such challenges have become prolific in some school districts. That provision cleared in a separate proposal that lawmakers have approved. DeSantis told reporters in February that book challenges have gone too far, while maintaining that the concept of book banning, which his administration has been heavily criticized for, is a hoax.
We like people wanting to be involved in what's going on. You know, to just show up and object to every single book under the sun, that is not an appropriate situation here. And we've seen that occasionally.
The plan to curb school book challenges includes charging people a fee to file them. That language is included in a bill backed by State Representative Jennifer Kennedy.
We are working very hard to get to a place where bad actors who file frivolous claims are stopped, and yet we maintain the freedom for people to have conversations about what we ought to have in front of our children.
And while lawmakers have moved on easing red tape on public schools and trying to curb school book bans, they've also taken the state's anti-woke campaign to a new place, teacher preparation programs. The measure uses similar language to a controversial law that's currently mired in the courts and bans diversity, equity, and inclusion language in schools and businesses, and applies it to teacher training programs. That one does not have nearly the same amount of broad support, with Democrats largely opposed. Still, lawmakers have made good on a significant number of their education priorities as the 2024 legislative session draws to a close. I'm Len Hatter.
After years of uncertainty, epilepsy services are set to see their first stable source of funding for the state. The money, say providers, will help hundreds of thousands of Floridians, their families, and their caregivers. We get more on that story from Margie Menzel.
Epilepsy can impact any family, and at any moment, without any warning. And this year, epilepsy impacted my family.
Representative Jenna Persons-Mulica is the House sponsor of the budget request. Her stepson has epilepsy. She says it's been a long road to stabilize his life and their families.
How do you prepare school in case he has a seizure there? And how do you help him return back to living as normal of a life as possible? And it's a hard and difficult journey, not only for the person who has epilepsy, but also for the family who's trying to help that person. And it's scary.
Epilepsy is a disorder of the brain that causes seizures or periods of unusual behavior and sometimes loss of awareness. It's diagnosed when two or more unprovoked seizures have occurred. The State Department of Health estimates that more than 360,000 Floridians have epilepsy. Political strategist Steve Shale had the disorder as a child, and it's been his passion for decades to advocate for support and funding for proper care. He serves on the board of Epilepsy Alliance Florida, one of the state's lead agencies in the Epilepsy Services Program at DOH.
epilepsy is a terrifying thing. As anybody who's ever had a seizure or had family members that does, 1 in 27 Americans will have a seizure in their life. So it's much more common than people think. It can be a terrifying sort of thing to navigate in finding the right doctor and the right medicine. So we do a lot of just sort of peer-to-peer counseling, caseworker with patients.
This year, the governor and both legislative chambers included recurring funding in their budgets that would expand services and stabilize them. It's a change from how the programs are funded now. Funding for epilepsy services has long been tied to the Seatbelt Infraction Trust Fund. But that trust fund is no longer collecting the kind of revenue it used to. 15 years ago, says Shale, the fund would collect between $1.2 million and $1.5 million. But last year, that amount fell to about $220,000. And so the epilepsy service providers have been operating with a gap.
And this year, the Florida legislature is on the brink of permanently fixing that for us. And so for organizations like ours that provide services to people with epilepsy, it means that we can now budget in a much more thoughtful way, not having to go back necessarily every single year to the legislature and beg them for one-time money to fill this gap.
Karen Basha Igozi is the president and CEO of Epilepsy Alliance Florida, where Shale serves on the board. It's one of the 5 lead agencies in the Epilepsy Services Program. The organization provides medical care for those who are uninsured, public education, and case management.
We also have a mental health component, which is extraordinarily important because many people with epilepsy suffer from depression. There's a huge stigma associated with it, and many of them can't drive, so they're homebound and because transportation is difficult when you can't drive.
Igozi says if the budget recommendations come through, organizations like hers won't have to spend so much time struggling for funding.
And this will mean that patients can continue their services. We'll be able to expand our services. Hopefully, we'll be able to serve more people.
One of the reasons for this year's success, Shale says, is having lawmakers with personal experience of epilepsy who can humanize it for their colleagues. Jenna Persons Mulica does it in the House. Senator Ileana Garcia, who, like Shale, had the disorder as a child, sponsored the measure in the Senate. Which brings us back to Charlie, Persons Mulica's son.
It's scary in every case. Is so unique, and every person is so unique. So finding that right path for our Charlie has been and will continue to be a journey, but we've overcome some huge obstacles, and he's back to living his greatest life, and every day in Charlie's life is a great life.
The funding is included in the legislature's budget for the upcoming fiscal year. I'm Margie Menzel.
Proposed behavioral health teaching hospitals will help ensure more Floridians have access to the help they need by growing the state's mental health workforce. A plan that begins designating such hospitals is on its way to the governor. Regan McCarthy reports it's part of a larger health care access package that Senate President Kathleen Passidomo has made a priority this year.
The U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration estimates about a quarter of the country's population has experienced a mental illness. Bradenton Republican Senator Jim Boyd says that means millions of Floridians could be living with mental health concerns.
Varying estimates put those experiencing a serious mental illness in Florida between 300 and 700,000.
Boyd says the need for behavioral health and substance abuse treatment is growing, and Florida doesn't have enough practitioners to meet the demand. That's where his bill comes in.
This bill is a first step in a multi-year process to enhance our behavioral health education and training, modernize our behavioral health workforce, and ultimately make Florida's workforce and behavioral health systems of care the national standard.
As the measure passed off the House floor Wednesday, Navarre Republican Representative Joel Rudman, who is a physician, praised the plan.
This is yet another bill that will make a huge impact on this issue. And once again, Florida will lead the way for the rest of the nation.
Under the measure, teaching hospitals will be required to offer accredited psychiatric residency and psychology fellowship programs and to grow workforce development efforts. The program starts by designating four behavioral health teaching hospitals and opens the door for more hospitals to receive designations in the future. I'm Regan McCarthy.
The Florida Senate will not be confirming Moms for Liberty co-founder Tina Dekovich to the Florida Ethics Commission. Some lawmakers raised concerns about a potential conflict of interest between Dekovich's roles lobbying the state while serving on the commission. Senate President Kathleen Pasadomo said the process became politicized, therefore she put it on hold.
And, you know, then there was some citizen said he was going to file a complaint and turned it in and politicized our process. And that troubles me because that's not what we do. So put it on hold. And if the governor reappoints her, then she'll come back. It'll give us an opportunity to get through the whole process.
Dekovich's current term on the Ethics Commission ends in June. The governor could reappoint her to the position. If so, the Senate would likely take up her confirmation next year. Mouthing off to law enforcers is set to become a criminal offense in Florida. Tristan Wood reports the legislature has passed a bill making it illegal to harass any first responder.
The measure would make it a second-degree misdemeanor to threaten, harass, or get within 25 feet of a first responder after they have issued a warning. The bill doesn't prevent people from recording or photographing law enforcement. The Senate okayed the bill a second time after the House changed the perimeter distance to 25 feet from the original 14 feet. West Palm Beach Democratic Senator Bobby Powell was the only senator to vote against it. He says expanding the perimeter to 25 feet could have a chilling effect on what cameras from the public are able to capture in instances of misconduct, like the murder of George Floyd.
This could prevent somebody from seeing an incident like that, because even though they are allowed to film, I can tell you right now that if I'm filming from Senator Rodriguez's desk to something that's close to that wall and there's people in the way or there's something happening or people want me out of the view, I may not be able to get the same picture that I could from 14 feet away.
But Hollywood Democratic Senator Jason Pizzo disagreed. While he supports body cams on first responders, he wants them to be able to operate with enough space that an emergency calls for.
I never liked the distance enumerated in this bill because I think sometimes it's not enough. It might be 25 feet. It might be 250 feet. If first responders during 9/11 said, get back on two huge towers, that distance to get back is likely a mile.
Barring an unlikely veto from Governor Ron DeSantis, the law will take effect next year. I'm Tristan Wood.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Evan Rossi, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.